Notice with me, Proverbs chapter 1 here, beginning of the series on Proverbs, and I've been excited about this as I've been kind of put some study together on it. Notice here verses 1 through 6 of Proverbs chapter 1 by way of introduction here this morning. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels, to understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise, and their dark sayings. Now, we have a lot of sayings in our modern day that, I guess we could probably call proverbs, but basically the book of Proverbs, in many cases, is a collection of sayings. But some of our modern day sayings, spare the rod, spoil the child. Now, I think that people are no longer having that philosophy. Now, that's loosely based on a proverb of the Bible. Another saying that people have today, look before you leap. Maybe some of these aren't in common circulation anymore, but a penny saved is a penny earned. I'm talking about doing away with pennies now because it's worthless, but early to bed, early to rise makes a man healthy, wealthy, and wise. Not necessarily. And some of these sayings are said often enough, it's like some people forget whether or not they're in the Bible or not. I want you to notice and consider here in the book of Proverbs that God has put together a collection of wise sayings that have His authority behind them. Now, let me just say that the author of Proverbs is the Holy Spirit of God. 2 Peter 1:21 says, "For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved or driven along by the Holy Ghost." God is the author of this book, not man. There are so many who try to explain away the Bible in general, and specific books as well. They try to explain it away, well, man, that's just a collection of man's writings. No, God is the author. Notice again in verse 1, the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. 1 Kings chapter 4, verse 32 says, "He, Solomon, spake 3,000 proverbs, and his songs were 1,005. So evidently Solomon is also a songwriter, but again, he collected 3,000 proverbs early in his reign as king. Ecclesiastes 12:9, written towards the end of his life, "And moreover, because the preacher was wise, he still taught the people knowledge. Yea, he gave good heed and sought out and set in order many proverbs." So again, we see King Solomon was used to collect these proverbs. In Proverbs 25, verse 1, we see that the men of Hezekiah copied out some of the proverbs of Solomon. We see in chapters 25 and following. Another man that the Holy Spirit uses was Agur, the son of Jacob, mentioned in Proverbs 30, verse 1, and also King Lemuel. Now, there's some discrepancy and discussion, I should say, as to who King Lemuel was. Was it a nickname for King Hezekiah, or was it a nickname for Solomon? We'll just have to understand that King Lemuel was King Lemuel. The Bible doesn't say who this was. So again, we see various ones that God the Holy Spirit used to bring together this book of Proverbs. Now, let me just say again, that gives this book authority. The author is not a human author. They are simply the writer. Again, as you look at 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 21, it says that the Holy Ghost moved men of God. That word moved means driven along. God told these men exactly what to write in the Bible. I believe we have God's words today because of that. Let me just say also then, the theme of Proverbs is the importance of wisdom. The theme of Proverbs is the importance of wisdom. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 7. "Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore get wisdom, and with thy getting, get understanding." Notice it's the principal thing. Now, there's times I would quote this verse as an elementary principal so that I could help our young children in chapel know what the difference between principle, as in L-E, the principle, a guideline of the Bible, and principal. It said, "I am the principal." All right, so you notice the difference there. But it's the principal thing. Is wisdom the most important thing to you? Notice me, chapter 8, Proverbs chapter 8, verse 11. Also, we see here that wisdom is incomparable. Wisdom is incomparable. "For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that may be desired are not to be compared to it." How important is wisdom to you? Now, we're going to talk about Solomon here a little bit later. But if God were to say to you, "Ask what you want," what would you tell him? What would be your answer? God says you can have anything that you want. What do you want? How important is wisdom to you today? Now let's talk about the recipient of Proverbs. Again, we're laying a foundation here for us to understand this book. The recipients of Proverbs are twofold. First of all, Proverbs initially was written to Solomon's son, Rehoboam. In fact, the phrase, my son, is used 23 times in the book of Proverbs. That phrase emphasizes truth that must be passed from one generation to the next. Parents, can I have your attention, please? Grandparents, can I have your attention today? There are certain things you need to be teaching the next generations. There are biblical truths that they need to know. Why is it that we're losing so many young people from Christianity, following the Lord Jesus Christ? They go up through high school, sometimes even going through a Christian school. As soon as they graduate, they go off and serve the devil, literally. They go off and serve the devil. There are certain things we need to be emphasizing as parents. David and Nathan taught Solomon things that he needed to know as king of Israel. Of course, Nathan was a prophet in Israel. But Solomon taught this truth to Rehoboam. Let's read Proverbs chapter 4, verses 1 through 4. Even as we see what Solomon says here in relation to the things he was teaching Rehoboam. Hear ye children, the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine. Notice, there are certain doctrines that we need to emphasize to our children. Forsake ye not my law. For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also, and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments, and live. I could not have received a better compliment from one of our son's Bible college teachers, saying that Justin and Ryan knew doctrine before they got to college. And let me just say this. There are too many who go to Bible college to learn doctrine. If you're going to Bible college to learn doctrine, it's too late. I believe our young people need to know. In fact, I asked them several times according to our Christian school, why is it that we're not teaching Baptist history to our children in a Baptist church? We don't want them to know our heritage. We don't want them to know our history, what we believe as Baptists. But again, the Bible doctrines. Notice again, he says, I give you good doctrine. Forsake ye not my law. Also notice not only doctrine or teaching of the Bible, but we need to also be teaching our young people that there are certain restrictions, certain things, commands of God that we need to follow. This is a book of commands. Now it says in 1 John chapter 5 that God's commands are not grievous. They're not burdensome. There are certain things that we need to be teaching our children. There are parameters about which God has built in our lives for our protection. Because parents don't want to teach their children commands or rules anymore, we're seeing a lot of our children go off and wreck and ruin their lives. I want you to think about Solomon, though. Solomon did not provide a positive example for the truth that he taught to his son. In fact, I would summarize it this way. Solomon had a do as I say, not as I do philosophy. For example, notice with me Proverbs chapter 7. Proverbs chapter 7. Solomon often warned Rehoboam against the strange woman. The strange woman was an immoral woman who worships a false god. Notice it says in Proverbs 7 verse 1. My son, notice again that phrase, my son, that appears 23 times in the Bible, in the book of Proverbs. My son, keep my words and lay up my commandments with thee. Keep my commandments and live. And my law as the apple of thine eye. Let me pause there for a moment. I have heard of young people who did not have parameters built around their lives when they're a teenager. And they end up hating their parents for it. I believe that there are certain parameters about which we need to place around our children for their protection. I mean, we don't touch that stove, it's hot. But we're not going to make sure our children have right friends that it's going to wreck and ruin and lead them down a bad path. You think about that. We'll teach them not to go into the street so that they get hit by a car. But we won't say, now, be careful of your friends. Be careful who you choose to be your friends. Notice Solomon says, bind them upon thy fingers and write them upon the table of thine heart. Make them a part of you. Say unto wisdom, thou art my sister. and call understanding thy kinswoman. Be related to wisdom. Have it as a close part of you. Now notice verse 5. That they may keep thee from the strange woman, from the stranger which flattereth with her words. I want you to notice Solomon's example in 1 Kings chapter 11. 1 Kings chapter 11. Solomon again had the attitude, at least a little bit later in his life, do as I say, not as I do. 1 Kings chapter 11. So let's look at the example of Solomon. And I want you to see how this related to Rehoboam and the impact that that would have had on his life. 1 Kings chapter 11, verse 1. But King Solomon loved many strange women. Isn't that the term that's used in the book of Proverbs? Solomon learned from experience. King Solomon loved many strange women, together with the daughter of Pharaoh. Now, these were often political alliances. He would marry the daughter of some political ruler so that there would be an alliance between their nations. Women of the Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Zidonians, and Hittites. Very pagan and wicked nations. Of the nations concerning which the Lord said unto the children of Israel, ye shall not go into them, neither shall they come in unto you. For surely they will turn away your heart after their gods. Solomon clave unto these in love. Now, we can understand that word love as in lust at this point. It's not true love, not biblical love. And he had 700 wives, princesses, and 300 concubines, and his wives turned away his heart. Now, I cannot imagine having that many women. I have trouble making sure that my one wife is well cared for. But you notice, he has 700 wives, 300 concubines, 1,000 women. For it came to pass, when Solomon was old, that his wives turned away his heart after other gods. And his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father. Now, was David perfect? Absolutely not. But yet he got things right with God. For Solomon went after Ashtoreth, the goddess of the Zidonians. Notice this next statement. And after Milcom, the abomination of the Ammonites. Remember that term Ammonites. We'll see that here in just a moment. And Solomon did evil in the sight of the Lord and went not fully after the Lord as did David his father. Then did Solomon build an high place for Chemosh, the abomination of Moab, in the hill that was before Jerusalem. And for Molech, the abomination of the children of, notice this, Ammon. And likewise did he for all his strange wives, which burnt incense and sacrificed unto their gods. And the Lord was angry with Solomon. Now wait a minute, I thought God was a God of love. This is a believer in God. And it says that God was angry with Solomon because he refused to pay attention to these things in his life. The Lord was angry with Solomon because his heart was turned from the Lord God of Israel, which had appeared unto him twice. Notice he ignored the warnings that were given to him. And he had commanded him concerning this thing, that he should not go after other gods, but he kept not that which the Lord commanded. Wherefore the Lord said unto Solomon, for as much as this is done of thee, and thou hast not kept my covenant and my statutes, which I have commanded thee, I will surely rend the kingdom from thee and will give it to thy servant. Notwithstanding, in thy days, I will not do it for David thy father's sake, but I will rend it out of the hand of, notice, thy son. Who's his son that followed him? Rehoboam. Howbeit, I will not rend away all the kingdom, but will give one tribe to thy son for David my servant's sake, and for Jerusalem's sake, which I have chosen. Now, notice with me chapter 14. Remember I told you to remember the term Ammonites and Ammon? 1 Kings chapter 14, verse 21. And Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, reigned in Judah. Rehoboam was 41 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 17 years in Jerusalem, the city which the Lord did choose out of all the tribes of Israel to put his name there. And his mother's name was Naamah and Ammonitess. Verse 31. And Rehoboam slept with his fathers and was buried with his fathers in the city of David. And his mother's name was Naamah and Ammonitess. And Abijam, his son, reigned in his stead. Let me just say this, parents. Our young people will see right through our hypocrisy. What will they do? What we say or what we do? You think about that. Solomon had an inconsistency before Rehoboam. Rehoboam's own mother was a strange woman. But let me just say this, Proverbs also has an application to all believers. I want you to notice with me, Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15. I believe the Bible is preserved for us to have this truth in our lives. God wants us also to understand the importance of these things. That's why it's preserved for us. Romans chapter 15 verse 4, talking about the application of the Old Testament in particular for us. Remember, the New Testament was not complete at this point as we read this statement. The New Testament was still being written under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Notice it was written for our instruction, our learning. I had a man come to me one time and told me that I shouldn't be preaching at all from the Old Testament. It's not for New Testament saints. He just wrote off two-thirds of the Bible. Let me just say this. There's a lot of reasons why we have the corruption that we have in our world today. There are so many who have taken that attitude for so long that they've lost sight of what God is really like in His character. Listen to me, 2 Timothy chapter 3. As we think about the application for our lives in the book of Proverbs, Proverbs was not just written for Rehoboam. Proverbs was written for us also because of the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Let's look at verse 15 through 17. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. That from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Now, we have a lot of people today who talk about the inspiration of the originals. I want you to point out something here. Did Timothy have the original writings of the Old Testament? Did he have the original copy of Genesis? Did he have the original copy of Deuteronomy or the prophets? No, he had a copy of a copy of a copy of a copy. And yet, you notice what God says here in regard to the Word of God. That from a child that has known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. This book is important in our salvation. And again, notice here why it's so important to teach the gospel to children. From a child that has known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. Now notice verse 16 and 17. All Scripture... Again, he's talking here even back in verse 15, even the copies of Scripture. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. Does the Bible ever become unprofitable? No, the Bible's always profitable. So let me just summarize this. God gave this book by inspiration, and what he started in inspiration, he protects with preservation. But notice here what he says. This book is profitable. It's useful for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Now, let me summarize these things. Doctrine is teaching on what is right. This book will teach us what is right for our lives. But notice it's also for reproof. What is reproof? The Bible also has a good way of telling us what's not right in our lives. If you read the Bible much at all, you know, you don't have to just have preaching. If you read the Bible carefully, the Holy Spirit's going to say, that's not right. There's something you need to change. That's not right. Notice it's good for reproof. It's also profitable for correction, how to get it right. I'm thankful that the Bible doesn't just tell me what's wrong in my life, but it also tells me how to get things right in my life. And for instruction in righteousness, teaching on how to stay right. Notice verse 17, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. This book, in particular, Proverbs, as we look at it today, this book will help us in living our lives. But again, let me emphasize, Solomon had an inconsistent example for his son. Back in Proverbs chapter 1, I want you to notice the objectives that Solomon has in writing and recording these Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 1, verses 1 and following. Notice here, the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. Notice these objectives that he lists here. He is very clear in his objectives right up front. To know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and will increase learning. A man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels, to understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. Notice the first objective that he lists here is to know wisdom and instruction. You notice here we need more than just information. We need wisdom and instruction. It's not just a knowledge or education that we need. I'm sorry, but there's an emphasis in our modern day that's wrong. If you get an education, you're going to go far in life. Well, I've known of some very educated fools. I've known of some PhDs that are educated fools. In fact, I came across as I was doing some study a while back. It's a little poem that's entitled The Amazing Professor. I once was a tadpole when I began to begin. Then I was a frog with my tail tucked in. Next I was a monkey in a coconut tree. And now I am a doctor with a PhD. Educated fools. Professing themselves to be wise, they became what? Fools. If I remember right, that's the Greek word that we get the word moron from. Wisdom is proper application of knowledge. You see, it's not just an education that I need. I need applied knowledge, wisdom, and instruction. I think of Bezalel in the Old Testament, book of Exodus. It says that he was wise-hearted. He was filled with the spirit of wisdom. He was filled with the spirit of God and wisdom, understanding, knowledge, and in all manner of workmanship. As we see in the book of Proverbs, God is the only source of wisdom. Did you hear me? God is the only source of wisdom. Now, we meet in a school. It's important for children to get an education. But they're not going to get wisdom from an education. There's something totally different there. Notice again, Solomon emphasizes that he wants people to know wisdom and instruction. Second objective, also mentioned in verse 2, to perceive the words of understanding. To perceive the words of understanding. To understand the difference between right and wrong. You know, I'm amazed today. People are not able to figure out what's right and wrong. Even Christians, they don't even get it. They don't perceive the words of understanding. To also understand the difference between truth and error. Notice with me 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I want you to understand that those who do not respond to the gospel are not able to perceive the words of understanding. This is just one application. I don't know about you, but there's times when I thought given a very clear presentation of the gospel. And you ask them, do you want to be saved? Do you want to place your faith in Jesus Christ? And they will say no. Or they'll give a reason why they can't. Do you not understand? No, you don't. Notice it says here in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 and 4. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world, Satan himself, hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. You can give the perfect presentation of the gospel. And it's like, I don't see it. I don't see it. You think about a Muslim. There's things that they have trouble perceiving as far as the truth. You think about also somebody who's in a cult, a Jehovah's Witness or a Mormon. You think about that. They have their teaching. They have their reasons why they cannot believe. Why they won't accept the truth of the gospel that's just through Jesus Christ, not anything that they do. You think about also a Catholic or any religion. They're not able to perceive the truth about Christ and salvation. Notice with me also 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. Again, Solomon says that he wants people to perceive the words of understanding. 1 John chapter 4, verses 1 through 6. Here the Apostle John writes, Beloved, believe not every spirit, spiritual teaching, we would say, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. This is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come. And even now already is it in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them. Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. Now pause there a moment. Why is it that so many of these megachurch pastors that have a compromised gospel have thousands of people that they speak to? There it is right there. Notice, they are of the world, therefore the world heareth them. Verse 6. We are of God, he that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error, to perceive the words of understanding. Back in Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1, another objective that Solomon has. To receive instruction. To receive instruction, verse 3. To receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment, and equity. Notice the instruction of wisdom from those who are truly wise. Let me just say this, especially to our young people who are in college or school. Just because somebody has an education and a degree does not mean that they are wise. If somebody teaches you that billions and billions of years ago, they're telling you a fairy tale, not the truth. Kent Hovind, you remember that just was released from prison? He said, anytime you hear the statement, millions and millions of years ago, you know that a fairy tale is coming. Just because somebody is educated does not mean they are truly wise. Notice, to receive instruction from the wise. Also, to receive the instruction of justice, doing what is right and fair. The instruction of judgment. Judgment speaks of discernment for making right decisions. Having a procedure for doing right based on God's word. Knowing how to make a good decision. The word judgment there is not talking about passing judgment on someone. Instead, it's talking about knowing how to make a right decision. You know, you have two or three different options. Do you know how to go to the Bible and say, God, show me. Show me what I'm supposed to decide in this matter. The instruction of judgment. The instruction of equity. Treating others equally and impartially. Not having favorites. To receive instruction. Also in verse 4, we see another objective. To give subtlety to the simple. To the young man, knowledge and discretion. Now the word simple there. Notice, to give subtlety to the simple. Now the simple one is not necessarily someone who's getting in trouble on purpose. The simple one is one who's easily misled. You think about some of our children. If they don't listen to right people, right voices, wise people, they could easily be misled. What do you think about that? Notice here, to give subtlety to the simple. Now it's interesting, back in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 1, it says, the serpent, Satan himself, is more subtle than any beast of the field. Talking about the snake, that old serpent, Satan. You see, the simple one needs proper answers for the subtle deceiver. Now, I was thinking about demonstrating this here today. Carlos, would you come? Would you guys come up also? Harry, I want you to stand over here. Decided to just kind of demonstrate here this morning. All right, who wants to be the fool? You know, the one that has the dunce cap on. Who wants to be the fool? Who's going to volunteer? I'm having you over there for a reason. You look older and wise. I know you better, so why don't you be the fool for me today, all right? I hope you won't hold that against me. Stand right there, all right? All right, let me see. Then, will you be a scorner today for me? Okay, all right. All right, scorner, remember, the scorner kind of has his hat on side, and he doesn't listen to anybody. All right, you're going to be the prudent guide, all right? I'm going to be the simple one. I don't know what's going on in life. You know, I don't know how to make right decisions. I want you to listen. Look at this demonstration, all right? So we have wisdom over here. We have foolishness over here. Sorry, Carlos. I just needed somebody to be an example today, all right? I want you to think about this. If I'm the simple one and I'm trying to decide which way to go, but here's what happens here. I can listen either to the scorner or I can listen to a prudent guide. Somebody who's going to guide me towards wisdom, right? Do you see that? All right, so the scorner over here, I mean, he's the one who, has his hat on the side, and he's cool. He doesn't have to listen to anybody because he's the scorner. So if I listen to the scorner, where am I going to end up at? Going towards foolishness, right? Listen, if I listen to the scorner, where am I going? To foolishness. But if I listen to the prudent guide, the one who has wisdom, where am I going? I'm going to end up going towards wisdom. Thank you, guys. You can have a seat. Think about this. who the simple one listens to determines where they end up. That is why it's so important for our children to be taught the truth of the wisdom of the Word of God. We're so concerned about giving them an education. Why aren't we more concerned about making sure they know the Bible? This is God's wisdom. Let me ask you, how many of you parents, or how many of you adults, I should say, wish that as a child you were taught some things? How many of us who are now adults made some bad decisions because we didn't have prudent guides leading us toward wisdom? To give subtlety to the simple. Again, the simple one is one who's naive, gullible, easily deceived, or even ignorant of godly principles. Proverbs 14:15 says, "The simple believeth every word, but the prudent man looketh well to his going." Let's me Romans chapter 16. Romans chapter 16, as we talk about the simple one, who is easily misled. That's why I believe that we need to have parameters around our young people's lives. All these rules protect. They need guidance. They need boundaries to protect. Why? Because they're a simple one. Our children are simple ones. That's why they need direction in their lives. If we let our children raise themselves, where are they going to end up? The scorner and the fool. As it says in verse 17 and 18 of Romans chapter 16. "Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine or teaching which ye have learned, and avoid them." Now, anytime a preacher marks a false teacher, it seems in our modern day, people are offended. How do you mark them and you don't specifically mention them? But notice, "I am to tell you who to avoid." Now, but notice verse 18. "For they that are such," I was talking about false teachers, "they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly." I don't care if they name the name of Christ. They are serving their own belly. They're serving their own appetites. "And by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple." Notice, good words and fair speeches. The simple one, the naive person, the one who's easily misled and easily deceived, is led astray because of their good words and fair speeches. The simple can be deceived. Again, Proverbs 14:15 says, "The simple believeth every word." The simple one believes what the scorner has to say. The simple one believes what the fool has to say. The Bible says that the simple one needs to learn from the consequences that the fool gets in his life. The simple one. The simple needs proper answers for the subtle deceiver. But also says in Proverbs chapter 1, the young man, the young person, needs two things as well. Knowledge and discretion. Not just an education, but knowledge. To know something. By the way, there's a difference between knowing about God and knowing God. There's a big difference there. Notice, knowledge and discretion. The ability to make right decisions. Again, we need to teach our young people these things. Another objective that he has in verse 5 and 6, notice, is to understand and interpret properly. Notice verse 5, "A wise man will hear and will increase learning. A man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels." To understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. Notice here, first of all, we must maintain a teachable spirit in verse 5. A wise man will hear and will increase learning. A man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. That's why your preacher listens to preachers. I listen to Independent Baptist preachers on sermonaudio.com. I listen to preachers because I've not learned at all. I wish I could say I have. But I need teaching also. I must remain teachable or I can no longer effectively teach people. I think of it here, of the example of Apollos in Acts chapter 18. Apollos was a great speaker. It says he was mighty in the scriptures. He knew the word of God as far as he knew up to that point. And as he was speaking, it says that Aquila and Priscilla took him aside after he spoke, after he finished speaking, to teach him the way of God more accurately, more completely. He was teaching the baptism of John. He was not teaching the full truth about the Lord Jesus Christ. Apollos listened to them and learn. We need to be like an Apollos. Again, a wise man will hear an increase in learning, and a man of understanding will attain unto wise counsels. Hold your place there. Notice with me Psalm 119. Psalm 119, verses 97 through 100. Psalm 119, verses 97 through 100. Oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. What do you think about all day long? Off and on all throughout the day do you hear and think about the word of God. Verse 98. Thou through thy commandments hast made me wiser than mine enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, therefore I don't need teaching, right? For thy testimonies are my meditation. Notice, to have more understanding than your teachers comes from meditating upon the word of God. I understand more than the ancients. The ancients speak of somebody who's older, gray-headed, because I keep thy precepts. Notice he says, I understand more than those who are older because I keep God's word. Back in Proverbs chapter 1, we see that Solomon says in verse 6 then, to understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. So the phrase dark saying speaks of riddles, deep truths, and things hard to understand. Now let me ask you, those of you who are older, do you understand everything there is about life? You know what I'm learning now that I'm over 50? I actually know less than I thought I knew at 20. See, I don't know it all yet. It seems the older I get, the less I really know. But to understand the dark sayings, the things hard to understand from other teachers. But notice here what Solomon says. He wants us to understand the Proverbs and the interpretation. The words of the wise and their dark sayings. Let me just summarize this by saying that there are various styles of Proverbs. Contrasts, compliments, and comparisons. As you read through the book of Proverbs, you've got to be careful about interpreting those verses. If you pull a verse out of context, you'll be no different than a lot of cults. They'll take a verse out of context to prove what they want to prove. You've got to remember that there's various styles of Proverbs. We also must compare Scripture with Scripture as you're interpreting the book of Proverbs. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 says that we are comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Let me give you an example of this. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 12 says, love covereth all sins. You know how a lot of people read that statement? Love overlooks sin. Now let me ask you, if you see somebody walking towards the edge of a cliff, do you love that person if you don't say anything? You know, they're blind, they're blindfolded, they don't see the edge of the cliff. Do you love that person if you let them walk off the edge? No, not in reality, you hate them. By your actions, you hate them. Notice, if you pull that statement out of context, you think that love overlooks all sins. No, love covereth all sins. There's a different meaning there. In fact, 1 Corinthians chapter 5, Paul tells the Corinthian church that overlooking sin in the church was wrong. They were proud of their tolerance for sin. They were puffed up. Keep also in mind that Proverbs are principles in general, not necessarily promises from God. Notice with me, Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 1. Remember that the book of Proverbs are principles, not necessarily promises from God. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. Now notice verse 2. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Now let me ask you. If an obedient child dies at a young age, is God's word wrong then? Notice this is a general principle. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days, long life and peace shall they add to thee. Now let me ask you, is eternity long life? But again, I say that this is a general principle. Notice another example, Proverbs 22, verse 6. Proverbs 22, verse 6. Proverbs 22 and verse 6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. So let me ask you, good godly parents have a child that goes to the world. Did God fail his word then? What about Solomon? What did we see in 1 Kings 11? It says when he was old, he went after the gods of his wives. This is a general principle that's true. You train up a child. You think about a 10-year-old. You think about some of these young boys that are here today. You train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Generally speaking, that is true. Let me point out something with that, though. There may be some young people that go to the world for a while, and when he is old, he returns to the Lord. God's word is always true. Remember, these are principles, not necessarily promises from God. Again, we have to be careful of our interpretation of the book of Proverbs. Let me just say it this way. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15 says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." Was that written to just pastors? How much do you study the Bible? How much are you studying the Bible on a daily basis? Well, that's work. I'd rather just read my assignment and check it off. That's what the attitude of most is, if they read the Bible at all. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, dividing truth from error. Now again, in 1 Kings chapter 3, Solomon is offered a blank check from God. I'm going to take time to look at it this morning, but at Gibeon, after he's made a sacrifice to the Lord, God comes to Solomon and says, "Ask what you will. Ask what you want. Ask whatever you want. Ask what I shall give thee." So if God came to you today, and he was to ask you, "What do you want from me?" You ask whatever you want, and I'll give it to you. What would you ask for? What did Solomon ask for? A wise and understanding heart. Now, God ultimately said to Solomon, "Because you've asked this thing, I will also give you what you didn't ask for." So what would you ask for God today? From God today? "Oh yeah, God, give me $1 million. Do you realize that $1 million could be blown in a few years and you'd be more bankrupt than when you started? That's a proven fact. People who win the lottery are worse off financially afterwards than before. What happened? They didn't have the money, the wisdom to handle that money. They didn't have the wisdom to handle that money. So what would you ask God for today? How important is wisdom to you? You also understand this morning the difference between knowledge and wisdom. Wisdom is an application of truth. Can I give you a challenge here today? There's 31 chapters in the book of Proverbs. Can I challenge you to read a chapter of Proverbs every day, asking God for his wisdom? Like, for example, the month of August, there's 31 days, right? One chapter of Proverbs for every day of the month. What will that do? As you have the right attitude, "God, show me your wisdom," God will start showing things. Today's the 26th. Read Proverbs 26. Pretty simple, isn't it? The question is, how important is wisdom to you? How badly do you want it? Father, I pray that you'd help us here this morning to understand the importance of wisdom. Father, our world seeks after education. Our world seeks after so many things. Money, fame, power. All the while they wreck and ruin their lives because they don't have a wise and understanding heart. Father, I think of Solomon, who started off well, but he ended, as he writes in Ecclesiastes, a life of vanity. God, I pray that you'd help us to live a life of wisdom, to desire wisdom from you through your word. Lord, I pray today, if somebody here does not know Christ as Savior, Lord, that today would be the day of salvation. Father, until they know Christ, the source of wisdom, they're not able to have your wisdom. Pray that you help us in these things. In Jesus' name, amen. Every head bowed and every eye closed here this morning before we sing. Do you know Christ today? Do you know Christ as Savior? Is there a time when you have asked God to save you? I didn't ask about your baptism. I didn't ask about your church membership. I didn't ask any of those things. Is there a time when you have called on God to save you in faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and what he's done for you? The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Even as we saw in the first hour. It's serious to put that off. Very serious. Do you know Christ? Will you stand with me as we sing this morning?